It's on the
so you never believe the pizza girl really delivers pizza in real life?
No.
Not me either.
Ain't no pizza girl coming up with no booty shorts with her shirt tied around her motherfucking belly button. You know what I'm saying? With the hair between the visor.
Well, what if your pizza girl showed up at the crib? Like,
first of all,
like,
I never had a pizza girl.
Hey, I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm going to get you high. Because it's Friday. You ain't got no job. And you ain't got shit to do.
All right.
Yeah, sure. I needed that. That was a throwback.
So, of course, y'all know that I'm corny as shit, but I'm cool corny. You know what I'm saying? Like, to where it's like, I will take some shit that's literal and try to, like, do all this pre-production and all this shit like this, right? And try to make it all tie together. So, if you couldn't tell from the intro song, we are smoking a plethora of motherfucking Kush right
that
now.
That Kush. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Of course, it is Friday while you are listening to this. You're either at work in your cubicle with your little headphones on, or you're in your car on your way there, or in your car on the way home, or for the lucky ones, you know what I'm saying, you're already got a blunt rolled up or a joint or whatever you choose, you know what I'm saying, and you getting ready to smoke and listen to us make fools out of ourselves and debate shit that the funny thing about this is, right, is that even though I did a lot of research and did a lot of shit to put these episodes together, the shit that we're debating, a lot of it is shit that we have just naturally debated just fucking around chilling.
Right.
The only difference is that we have microphones on.
Right.
And kind of that's how I wanted this show to go, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But of course, you know me. Like, I overanalyzed and fucking planned this whole thing out that I knew wasn't going to go the way it was. But there's some shit, obviously, we couldn't never plan for, which, right, you know, part of that is the fact that the streets is empty out here, motherfucking LA, yo.
The only thing out here was Big Frida. That man is almost. Oh my God, I had to save him.
All right, look.
I had to save him.
Let me explain. Trey definitely wins a homie award for this, right? All right, you ever been in a situation where you're walking with your homeboys, right? And normally, if you see like a woman, right? It could be a woman from a far distance. It could be from a close distance. It could be whatever. You don't even really know how she looks. You just might catch a glimpse of something. It might be a body. Lord, it might Jesus. Be a glimpse of the side of a face. It might be the way she had her hair. It could just be the way she was walking. But amongst your homeboys, you'd make a comment, right? Boom. And it'd just be that. Oh, sometimes shit. There's shit that you would say to your homeboy as if like that's what you would say to her. But right, you never planned on really like bolting and putting your cape on and running across the fucking street, right, to say anything to her.
Right.
So this is one of those situations. I had to get that long drawn out disclaimer because, spoiler alert, man, this was definitely a guy. This
that
chick
seen
totally
a nice little tight from the back. He thought she had a nice little tight little butt on her. Nice little tall thing, had a little, nigga, that ain't what you thought it was.
And the crazy thing about it is that you know it's like cabin fever, right? Because, like, everybody's afraid to go outside. So it's like, it's all good. Like, we in the big, plushed out, like, huge Airbnb. I mean, we quarantined in whatever it is, what it is going on. But we got hella weed, so it's all good. I mean, as y'all can tell, I mean, if you've made it this far through the season, you know that we've been smoking big. So, I mean, it's all good. But, yeah, like, I didn't realize how tall she was at the first glance. I didn't realize how, like, dollar store the weave looked, you know what I'm saying? I did not realize how the fucking tank top was awkwardly fitting, like, on your back. So that could only make me imagine what happens when you turn around. I didn't notice any of this shit. All I saw was hair, a black arm, and leggings. And then the dog in me just decided to formulate a thought that almost came out my mouth.
The dog in you almost got Trey, dog, boy.
Yeah, Trey fucking saved me, yo.
Give me my claps.
No, this nigga's been on fire for a minute. So let me give you your on fire first. Yeah.
That would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right,
God damn. Oh, no. I'm going to let your whole clap run through. All right, never mind. I got to cut it off. I forgot how long that shit is. Eventually, I'm going to have to chop that that fucking pad down, yo.
This nigga, man.
Been funny, so he saved me. But shit was cool, yo.
I should have waited for the comment, though.
We took a nice little stroll around.
I should have waited to see what you was going to say.
I know. I'm glad you did it. Because here's the thing, right? Even if I wouldn't have said it to that person... just saying it to you at that point in time, it would have made me feel a certain type of way about myself. I would have felt slighted, you know what I'm saying? And it made me feel like, yo, like, damn, nigga, like, where's your peepers at, yo? You know what I'm saying? You be talking about I'm old and shit. I was getting ready to go get my eyes checked. Like, what the fuck is going on, yo?
Oh, Jesus.
Or maybe, quit fucking drinking. That's what it was. It wasn't even the weed. It was that fucking shot that I took. Because it's St. Patrick's Day. Nobody's the fuck outside. So I decide to be that fucking guy that goes and gets shots of fucking Jameson early. Knowing that I don't really like Jameson like that. Right. So now I take a shot of Jameson. I'm feeling tipsy. And now I need to go back to the store to get something else that I actually like. Yeah.
Jeez.
All right. So we've been on a tangent. But it's all good. Because I'm going to get into some higher learning early, only because you're going to need to know this to understand one of the strains that we're going to talk about later.
This is higher learning.
All right, there is a type of strain called a landrace strain. We would call those like heirloom strains. You ever heard like an heirloom tomato?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, a strain of tomato that's like, you know, they're prize winning. They're usually the prize winning ones. But really what it comes down to is the genealogy is that it comes from an original seed that's been bred and bred and bred over and over again. So like an heirloom tomato is different than just like any other tomato, right?
Right.
So there's certain, you know, plants that are like that. All right.
It's like a family heirloom or something like
right.
that. Something that's been handed down for generations.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, no one can tell us exactly how weed started. I mean, obviously, I mean, I don't know what y'all believe in out there in the world in cyberspace who's listening to this or on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all those other places. you know what I'm saying? I mean, God created the world, so apparently he created weed too. You know what I'm saying? Right. Now, with that being said, the way weed is in the state that we have it today is slightly different from then, but it all started somewhere. The same way how everything starts somewhere, there's a place where this starts. Now, as far as historical documents go, they can date it as far back to 2900 BC, all right? And that cannabis as a plant has been cultivated for food, fiber, as well as religious and medicinal purposes, right? And they say that cannabis originally evolved in Central Asia and was spread by humans to nearly every region based on the multitude of uses that, you know, people way back in those days knew that they could use weed for. Then, of course, with wars and different people invading countries and all this shit like this, you know, you pick up on stuff that's local and then you bring it to your hometown, then it spreads like this. But what this all boils down to is that there's these landrace strains, which are the original strains of weed based on their outdoor area where they were moved to. Mm-hmm. So there's Afghani, there's Thai, there's Hawaiian. Usually it's named after the region. There's African, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And a lot of these strains, if you guys noticed, one of the strains we were talking about, I think last episode or episode back, and I broke down its parentage way back, starting from an African strain
right.
and an Afghani strain. Right. Well, those were the landrace strains. Those were the strains where it started from. So One of the weeds that we are going to, one of the weeds, I'm already fucking high. One of the strains that we're going to talk about is a blueberry strain that is very rare to get your hands on. And I happened to catch it on the humble going to a different dispensary called MMD. Now, I've been to MMD before in Hollywood when I came to LA before, but I've never been to their North Hollywood location. And the studio that we were at happened to be around the corner from there. So we caught an Uber over there, and then we had to wait in line. And then I really went there because I saw on Weed Maps they had Crescendo. Y'all know that I was disappointed that MedMen didn't have Crescendo.
Right.
And it wasn't just them. It just seems like, you know, while people are stocking up on toilet paper and water and all kinds of other shit, it seems like the potheads are stocking up on all the really, really good weed.
Right.
And Crescendo is by far, like, one of the best sativas I've ever smoked in my life. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And every budtender I talk to knows that shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they don't be wanting to deliver the news to me to tell me that right. they've sold out of it. And right. I've called places, called at least like 9 places, cannot find this shit. Thought I was going to find it, didn't find it.
Sheesh.
And then we stumbled onto this DJ Short Blueberry and this Moonstone Kush. Then after that, okay, well, my bad. I'm getting so fucking thrown off because I'm high as shit. What is that shit that we just smoked? Trey,
we just smoked some guava.
All right, so we just smoked some guava. Let's give them the rundown on this guava real quick.
So the guava is a sativa dominant hybrid.
All right.
Its lineage is gelato, is the phenotype. It's 26.2% THC.
Okay, that's why I got me smacked like this over here.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's 26.2 total cannabinoids and 22.4% THC. So right, it's still pretty decent.
Right.
MMD came through on a low, for real.
Yeah, because this was actually on, like, their clearance type area.
Yeah.
Or not even the clearance area, but, like, basically there was a section
they had levels. They had levels. But this was on, like, the lower level, and he had, like, Ace for $20.
Yeah, and the THC counts on a lot of that stuff that was over there that we saw, mm-hmm. like the gelato that we saw over there, the fucking what was the shit, the zookies that we saw over there.
The zookies
there was a lot of stuff that was tested.
They only had
higher.
Grams of that though.
Right, grams and ounces.
Yeah,
there was stuff that was testing higher than some of that other like top shelf brand name stuff. Right.
Right.
So I really wanted to grab a couple of these selections. That's how we stumbled upon this OG Kush that we got, this guava that we got, and this DJ Shore blueberry, which I found out is a legendary like cultivator from like dating back to the 70s, and he's basically cultivated some of these early strains that have been bred and crossbred into a lot of the hybrids that we smoke today. You know, he won the Cannabis Cup 2000 for best indica, and he worked with a lot of these Landrace strains. So this strain right here that I have rolled up in this raw paper with the tip is the DJ Short Blueberry. So we're going to spark that up in a minute. I guess we'll just review these in the order that we spark them. So I figure you can spark up that Kush first.
Hold on. All right. So we got to finish with the guava first. We just sparked the guava. We just finished smoking the guava.
All right. So, I mean, break down the color scheme for me on the guava.
It's very stringy. A lot of sticks in it. It's a lot of stringy hairs, green hairs. A lot of green, red, what you call them?
Trichomes.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn them. A lot of red trichomes and, the smell is kind of piney.
Tell the people what type of grow method this was done with.
Oh, it says sun-grown flower, which I'm assuming meaning
is it outdoor?
Outdoor, right.
Now, here's an interesting thing that I learned about outdoor weed today. It's something that I never knew before, and that's part of the journey of this show, Higher Learning. Like, I'm pretty sure there's some people who knew a lot of the shit that we tried to teach in the learning parts. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Some of that shit I didn't know, and there's a lot of people who didn't know at all. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But let me tell you, I was talking to one of the bartenders over at Cookies, and he was breaking down to me how a lot of the outdoor weed that they had there was cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Basically half the price of the indoor grown, right?
Why is that?
Now, there's a few ideas that I have or theories of why the price is different. I really don't know enough right now for me to make one stick.
I think the indoor weed is more of the more potent smelling weeds. So I guess, you feel me, like...
Right. And because you know that it is climate controlled and the way that it's grown, that there's a very, very low potential for any type of impurities, right? Right. Versus outdoor, you have the elements or whatever. Yeah. But there are some of the same similar strains that are grown by some of these cultivators that they grow different batches, right? Yeah. Indoor and outdoor. So the Georgia Pie that we had from Cookies
was
an indoor batch.
Right.
The outdoor batch that they had there that I looked at today.
Uh-huh.
Looked better, smelled better, and tested higher than the indoor batch.
So that might be the difference. I forget what episode it was when we were talking about
the runts.
Right.
Now I'm thinking you might be right on that. That's why one of them manifested itself, the phenotype, as being more green, and the other one showed as more purple.
Right. So the purple must have been grown outside.
And one of them was. I really don't know how to tell the difference by looking at that.
Because you got to think, if it's outside, that means the sun is hitting it more.
Right.
Meaning the leaves and the trichomes and what's the other one? And the cyclones.
Let's just stick with the trichomes.
All right.
Yeah, so some of the tucked away dispensaries are pretty cool. We stumbled upon, was it Genius?
Yeah, Genius.
Yeah. So we looked up a spot. I randomly just Googled a spot.
Which is actually right down the street from us.
Yeah.
Which is convenient.
Right. And it was Weed Maps, once again. Weed Maps. We were looking for a spot where we can get
Which is not a...
Oh, no. They didn't pay us to fucking say that shit. I keep forgetting about these fucking rules. Yeah. Weed Maps didn't pay us to say this shit.
Right.
But Weed Maps, if you'd like to... get in touch. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Season 2 coming soon.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to be looking for sponsors like you. But anyways, Weed Maps told me that they have this deal, 40% off Genius brand weed. And then it was interesting because I'm reading their little sell point and their slogan, and it was like the incubator for weed brands that are trying to da-da-da-da-da. And it was like, we're breeding weed for the creative and for smart people. Smart people who want to smoke smart weed. That's basically what they should have said, but they didn't. It's probably why they're having all these corporate problems, that the bud tender was talking way too much about their business to us, not realizing who we are. Like, girl, do you know I'm getting ready to go talk about this shit on a podcast? You're ready to tell all that shit right now. The fuck?
they basically looking like they want any type of way out possible.
Well, what I gathered from her conversation is that Genius as the dispensary are doing well.
Right.
The brand of weed and the idea that they came up with of the shit that we bought didn't do as well.
Right.
And that because of that, there's some restructuring. Someone is getting fired. It's probably the guy who didn't think about that a slogan that had to do with fucking smart weed. Like, they're smart everything. Nigga, phones, water, all that shit, yo. You
might
know what I'm saying?
Make it smart weed,
but
right?
Your shit's called Genius, and you're trying to fucking make... Basically, I looked at it because I wanted to see what a competition...
Easy pitch, ain't it?
This is a failure, to an extent, of what our competition would be.
Right.
Because, like I said, I want to cultivate a line of weed, not my like rest my whole head.
This might be the most marketable weed company. Because of the name.
They had a solid idea.
You know what I'm saying?
But I don't know. Apparently something didn't go right of how the girls explained to it.
Uh-huh.
Which made sense of why that weed of that brand was 40% off of all of it.
Sheesh.
But it was good.
Right.
But here's the thing.
Well, we got something called Vision.
Yeah, we got something called Vision and something called it was all right, so it was labeled as like Snow OG, Larry OG.
Right.
But basically it was like an OG strain. It was a part of this whole signature series that they made with Jack Herer.
Right.
And then Jack Herer, of the Jack Herer weed, you know what I'm saying, is another one of those legendary guys from way back in the day, like one of the pioneers of weed, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
In the California area, you know what I'm saying? These are the guys who like created these original strains dealing with these land lays, like heirloom strains, and created some of the stronger shit. Like how we smoke cheetah piss. Uh-huh. Cheetah piss is a homage or paying homage to
cat piss.
Cat piss, you know what I'm saying? Cat piss is a weed that I read in like, I think it was like the Canna Bible, or it was like one of those books that I read. Uh-huh. One of the studios that my homeboy had way back in the day had that book
back
there.
In like 2008.
That's one that I've never got my hands on. Like, I've never got my hands on true cat piss.
See, well, this is in the hood. Yeah. And you never really know.
You never really know.
But they said it was cat piss and it was some fire. I do remember it being some fire, so. I don't know. You never know.
Yeah. Because you know, we live in the world where a nigga go fucking pee on a weed.
But it was
fucking one of let those, that shit air dry out.
But the way, like, I had bought some weed and I texted the nigga, like, damn, this shit, some fire. Like, what the fuck is this? And he texted me back some cat piss. And I said, cat piss? Like, there's no way in hell weed is named. This, I probably been smoking like a year. By this time, you feel me, in my junior year of high school, you know what I'm saying, something like that. So I'm like, cat piss? What the fuck is some cat piss? Like, this shit is crazy. Nigga, I was so fucking high. This one of the times I had to take the hour walk away before my mother got home, you know what I'm saying?
Like, right, right.
I had to gather myself. Like, that shit was crazy. But I do remember that high. I do remember that name.
Yeah.
Like, so it might have.
See, I want to find one of these underground dispensaries that I've heard of. You know, I mean, allegedly, legend has it,
right,
that they are dispensaries that don't operate with super legit licenses, right?
Right, right, right.
And usually these are places that are like off the beaten path.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, let me tell y'all something. I know you just laughed at me for saying that, but I'm in my motherfucking fake journalism bag right now, so I'm going to say phrases like off the beaten path and shit, you know what I'm saying?
And ladies and gentlemen, I do not know what the fuck that means.
It means like in the cut, all right? Nigga translation is like the in the cut spots.
So why can't you just nigga translate? You got too many
because
white
things. Because I'm trying to audition for like late night or like, you know what I'm saying?
Late
like,
night?
Yeah.
You better audition for early morning, nigga. What the fuck? Nigga said late night, man. You going to be sleeping snoring by then. You ain't making it. It's just like you like daytime sex.
All right, nigga. Fuck it, yo. Fuck it, yo. All right, you know what?
You like daytime sex because you ain't making it to the night.
So now Trey's on this silly shit. So we get ready to roll up and catch a vibe.
Don't catch a vibe.
Oh, no. We're going to roll up and catch a vibe. We're going to come back and we're going to get into some bullshit. We're going to get into some bullshit when we get back. All right. All right. Yeah, so let's roll up and catch a vibe to this. Matter of fact, we're going to play a bunch of Kush songs.
Kush.
All right, so everybody's watched porn before.
Oh, shit.
Of course, right? I mean, you've never watched it before?
I mean, I didn't say I did.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, everyone has watched it before.
Yeah.
I don't care who says they haven't. Everyone has watched porn before.
Yeah.
People might not actively watch porn, but everyone has watched it before.
Mm.
Right. Have you ever seen an actress on a porn movie who you think might actually could cut it like in a regular movie? Like, if porn actors tried to do normal movies, would they turn out like the right way?
I don't watch that type of porn.
I'm just saying, but do you think they could? Like, cause think about it like this.
I don't watch the scenes. All
right, think about my philosophy like this.
I don't know. I watch black porn.
Do you think that in every black porn that you've ever watched, that every scene that you've seen and the way that she was reacting to it, that was her real actions or was she acting?
Oh, no, nah, definitely. Yeah. As far as that, like.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you can so elegantly
like faking
pull off an orgasm, then I feel as though that with a script, you might.
But that's not, script is different. That's words. It's easy to.
But it's the believability of it. There's a lot of actors out there that are great.
It's easy to believe a sound more than believing words and looks on face. Nah, they get the looks on the face.
So you never believe the pizza girl really delivers pizza in real life?
No.
No, me neither.
Ain't no pizza girl coming up with no booty shorts with her shirt tied around her motherfucking belly button. You know what I'm saying? With the hair between the visor.
Well, what if your pizza girl showed up at the crib? Like,
first
that,
of all,
like,
I never had a pizza girl.
You never had a pizza girl?
Fuck no. I always get some fat, ugly, white. You feel me? Like,
it's like a stereotype pizza boy?
Yeah.
Like fat white boy?
Yeah, sweaty. You feel me? Smell like fucks.
You're not a tipper either, so I know I know you that you don't tip them niggas. Yeah.
No,
you
sir.
Be you the exact change.
I tip my brothers. I don't want to sound racist. Or
it's all good. You're already there.
Fuck it.
We tip you over.
I tip my brothers.
You tip black people.
A dollar. What? A dollar. That's a tip, ain't it?
Hey, yo, this fucking Kush is fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's all right, right? Oh, here you go. Old man long.
I learned how to cough away from the microphone because it is a bitch trying to edit that shit out. Like, you just can't. So I don't even try. Like, EQing it. Like, you try
what
to.
What editing up?
Because there was this one.
That's all part of it.
No, but there was an episode back where, like, you know me, I'm looking at the screen and I coughed so hard directly in the mic that it, like, peaked. And then, like, I couldn't get the peak to go away in, like, the mixing part of it, right? And then it was just like, fuck it. I don't care. I'm just going to leave it there. But then I ended up figuring out a way.
Stop editing your coughs out, man.
Man, whatever.
Let the people know that you got the old man lungs.
So, what movie title? All right, so I went on the internet and just, like, looked up some shit. Mm-hmm. And I saw this and it made me laugh. Just because this would typically be like a question that one of my white friends would ask me. So now I would ask one of my black friends to see what answer you come up with. Right. I'm pretty sure they could like let these shits off like a rapid clip. Right. But what movie title would be made better by adding for boobs?
Super bad.
At the end, super bad for boobs.
No?
Yeah.
That's not a good one.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Oh, right. What else? Coming to America.
Boobs. Why is this shit so funny?
Yo, this is a good one. What else I got? Paid in full.
For boobs.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of niggas out here in Hollywood that can relate to that.
Menace to society.
For boobs.
Right. Yeah, I got all of them. Stella got her groove back.
For boobs.
This is a good one. Alright, what else? I can keep going. With Mighty Ducks. Oh shit. Oh man. This is a good one. What else I got? What else do I got?
Don't be a menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood.
For boobs. That shit long as shit.
I know.
God damn, what else I got?
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
For boobs. What else? Think like a man.
For boobs.
Yo. All right, we going on a tangent.
Okay. All right.
Georgia the Jungle
for boobs. Why?
Mortal Kombat.
What type of sorcery is in this weed, yo? What the fuck? All right. So what movie... No, fuck that one. How did you lose interest in a TV show that you used to like? Like, letter to the fucking editor. What did they do? You used to like the show. Now you don't fuck with it because of this reason. What the fuck is that reason?
Too many copycats.
Ooh, what are we talking about? Which show? Love and Hip Hop.
Yeah. I was with the original.
You know I love Love and Hip Hop.
I know. And you still watch it like
yeah,
a little.
Yeah, I still watch it. Yeah. Yep.
19-year-old little girl.
Yep, you know it. Yep.
Damn shame.
Uh-huh. I be on the little chats too. I downloaded the WeTV app so I could chat with the motherfucking Growing Up Hip Hop. You know what I'm saying? And be on like the trivia and shit. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
See, it was a time where reality TV was a shock factor. You know
right,
what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Because in the beginning, we was thinking like everything was real. You get what I'm saying? So when these shows first started coming out, the Kardashians and Real World and all these type of shits, we was watching it because the shock factor, like, oh yeah. Shit, this is happening on camera live and we're watching it. You get
right,
what I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
But once it got to a point when you find out it's scripted.
When it's formulated. Yeah, damn.
Formatted.
Damn.
What word is you looking for, nigga?
Formula.
Formulated.
Formumatic.
What the fuck word is you mixing the two?
Like,
is this the drink or the weed?
I promise you, there's a word that's supposed to go there.
Nigga, I gave you two. Choose
this
one.
Completely escaping me right now.
This nigga makes all seven
fuck
words.
Fuck it. Keep going, Trey. Okay. He was making a great point.
But made me lose with the formumatic.
All
right. No, I'm going to find it. So, yeah. Once you find out that it's like a scripted or formatted or formulated show, you feel me? Then it kind of takes the shot factor out of it. So, you feel me? Then the Love and Hip Hop, Chrissy, Jim Jones came out. The first one was cool. You feel me? That
right.
It showed black love for once. You feel me? It was drama, but it was still like, everybody could relate because everybody had that type of situation in their relationship.
Right.
So the first one was cool because it was about them too. You feel me? They added a couple whatevers on the side, but the main show was about them. You know what I'm saying?
Right. All right. You know what? I'm going to come back to this reality TV
thing.
Hold on.
I got to get this thought out because I'm a motherfucking forget what the fuck I'm saying. Once it started getting to the Love and Hip Hop Miamis and Atlantas and it kind of became a repetitive thing. You get what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It ain't no shot factor. You know what's going to happen. You know it's going to be two bad bitches fighting.
But I always like them bitches.
I know you do.
There's always one on a season for a specific reason. For me, it's like, all right, look. I already know that you on Love and Hip Hop because you're trying to catch a break. You're either on the way down or you hit the down and you're trying to get back up.
Right.
Or you're on the way up and you're trying to get noticed.
Right.
Either way, the Mona Magic has convinced me that I'd be into it if you was into it.
it's please, man.
Because I'd be like mastermind and like my storyline would be so lit. It would be undeniable. And you know I'm such a marketing genius that
everything is a reality show now.
Right.
Everything. It ain't no more like sitcoms or, you feel me? Only thing they do, they replay cartoons like the Family Guys and all. There ain't no new series out that, you feel me, besides like the HBO shows and
right.
That, you feel me? Like, TV but it's is
because,
white now,
it's because we know that it's fake.
I don't like that type of shit.
But we believe that it's real enough to...
Nah, fuck that. I don't believe none of that shit.
Yeah.
I don't believe none of that. I seen something on YouTube with Bow Wow on Growing Up Hip Hop with the bitch was waiting outside for him. And she said something and she bust his window out in his Benz truck and something like that.
Oh, yeah, that was the Kiss Wowie joint he used to fuck with. You know that joint? Nah, you ever been on her Instagram?
Nah, I I've never seen her.
All right, let me tell you. If you go, well, all right, listen.
Whatever.
Y'all out there that's listening to this podcast.
I see you where the fuck you was going.
If y'all go on Kiss Wowie Instagram and look at them pictures, you will understand why Bow Wow, you know, in certain situations could not let that go back when he realized he should have. There's a point in every man's relationship when he has that super crazy joint where you know when you should have let it go.
Sheesh.
However, there are certain things that she knows that if she's very good at what she's good at, this is not just a sexual thing. It's part of it.
Oh, no, this
but
is
there's other sexual, shit with man. It. Yeah, all right, fuck it. Let's just go hold to up, five. No, up, I don't want to get it.
No. I wasn't finished explaining what the fuck I was saying.
Oh, shit.
Damn. Now, what I was saying, I was watching the Bow Wow shit.
Right.
And Shorty was waiting outside the studio, like, yeah, what we doing, da-da-da. Bow Wow, like, yeah, I don't know, da-da-da. She like, you my man? She like, no, I'm not, da-da-da. The whole time, Shorty bust one window out the shit.
Right.
And dipped. Now, we all know that ain't no mad black scorned woman busting
one window
out this shit. You get what I'm saying? In the Benz truck, G-Wagon? No, sir. She is busting all of them shits. The tires is gone. She ain't even calling you to come outside, cuz. She gonna call you to come out afterwards when she done dipped and all of that. You feel me? You feel me? Like, I can't watch it. It's not real. All right, now we could go into the five.
Okay. No.
My thought out.
No, it makes sense though. Why you could say that right. It's not real.
Damn it.
But
sheesh, nigga was trying to cut me off this whole time.
I didn't know. I thought. I ain't gonna lie.
Shit.
I ain't gonna lie.
Speaking of this, I might as well do my motherfucking rule right now.
Oh shit! You just violated. Yeah. Oh, set the rule. Shit. Hold on. Let me hit the.
This is higher learning. Learning.
All right. It's time for the motherfucking black code of smoking. Right.
The black code of smoking. That's what we calling it.
That's what we.
We're workshopping that title.
Motherfucking. He just don't want to give me my props because that's the.
I've been giving you your props like every episode
because
pulled the sword from the stone. You got the homie award for saving me from the tranny. What else?
This trip, I just been coming through, like motherfucking Dre said, come through. So motherfucking yeah, listen. I just broke one of the prime rules. And black smoking code. I just dropped the blunt, guys.
Right.
Now, for all of those who know what that means, we all know what that means. If you drop the blunt, that means somebody's fucking your bitch. And I hope.
Is that what it means?
Somebody fucking your bitch. Okay. If you drop the blunt, somebody fucking your bitch. Now, I hope. I hope. That's all I'm saying. Now I'm going to respark this blunt with the hope.
All right.
That nobody is fucking my bitch.
Cause I got.
Nope.
Not that one.
Wrong one. This one.
Wrong got five.
Let me see the lighter.
Oh yeah.
I got five. All right, so we've done quite a few music categories. We've covered top five dead or alive on the rappers. We did the top five current. We covered R&B singers on the female tip and rappers on the female tip, but we didn't go here. So, as you know, we're going to do of all time, and then we're going to do current. So, put five on top five male R&B singers of all time.
That's fucked up. Because I can't even put a person I want to put on that bitch. And he's the GOAT for real, for real.
Oh, and I can't you even know say what? His name. You know what? You know what? I think that this is a perfect opportunity for us to catch a vibe and come back and get into this vibe, yo. You know what I'm saying? All right, people. So we gonna listen to this Good Dank by Wiz Khalifa, and then we gonna come back and let Trey contemplate whether or not he can make his five the five that he wants to make it. All right, so top five male R&B singers of all time. Let's get to it.
Oh, Jesus. Why did you bring me here?
I don't know, but we're here. you know what I'm saying? I don't know why I brought us here, but we're here.
I'm going to try to do this. All right. First, I'm going to go Al Green.
Okay.
Marvin Gaye.
Okay.
Trey Songz.
Oh, interesting.
Chris Brown.
Interesting. Okay.
Five.
How many was that? Did you just do?
That was four.
All right. Who's number five?
Now, here's the discrepancy. This man has been muted, right?
Okay. I see where we're going.
But you can't erase the music.
I understand you.
So, therefore, I will put this individual in my fifth spot, but I refuse to say his name. Is that fair?
Oh, no, 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 no. Listen to me, Trey. If you are going to put someone in your five,
all right, here, can I
give you have to say his name.
Can I give him
he's not Voldemort, yo, nigga. You know what I'm saying? This is not Harry Potter. If you're going to put him in your five, then you must say his name.
Can I give
nigga.
Him a new name then?
No, nigga. Is he Candyman? What the fuck? Yeah, this is like Candyman?
No, this is Mr. Too Sexy in the flesh.
Oh, no.
I can't say his name. All right, if
my
I got
mind's telling me no. But my body telling me
yeah. Hey, yo.
Oh, my Jesus.
That has a whole new context to it right now, yo. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
So here's the thing. All right. So here's what it comes down to.
I don't need to say nothing.
Here's what it comes down to. No, because this is a conversation that no one wants to have. And I didn't think about when I came up with this top five because it just was the natural order of things. We talked about top five female R&B singers of all time. We did the top five rappers. We did all the men. So the only thing we didn't do musically yet in this season was top five male R&B singers. And I didn't really think about it because I was high, of course. Yeah. Here's a good time to put this one.
Because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
Go to the next. Go to the next. All
right, so because I got high, I forgot that R. Kelly is definitely arguably supposed to be in everybody's top five list.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
I'm not sure if, like, it's socially acceptable to say that in context. Now, mind you, you know, of course, nigga, I don't motherfucking, like, I'm not riding with R. Kelly on none of that fucking nasty ass weird shit that he did. I'm not super surprised because I've been reading in between the lines of the fucking music all along, and I believed people way back in the day when they said that shit. So I'm the last nigga.
This nigga said my mind is telling me no.
But my body's telling me yes. Okay, but I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. Listen, just understand this. I'm not the nigga who's going to put on the cape and jump out there and dun-da-da for no fucking R. Kelly and shit, right? All right? We're clear on that. So now that we're clear on that, if I'm making a clear argument of top five male R&B singers of all time, I'm going to keep it real. I'm one of the type of niggas where I try not to speak on things that I have no knowledge about. I don't know if it's that time yet where we're allowed to include him in this conversation. I'm pretty sure people want to kill me right now because I started playing the fucking song.
Jesus. Oh, shit. What is that?
This is that blue shit, man.
That shit is dangerous. Oh, shit.
But, so, here's the thing.
Oh, shit.
We still have to do this top five, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if we should even try to disclaimer it. I just think that we should just make the top five and leave Robert
out of it.
Out of it.
So I got to replace him. All right. Trey Songz, Chris Brown. And I'm going to give it to Drake then. Fuck it.
Okay.
You remind me of something. I just can't think of
it. All right. No. I'm not going to do
you
that.
You trying to get us put off the
motherfucking No. Shit? It was too far. It was too far. That was too far.
This nigga. That was God too far. Damn it.
All right. Top five.
Yeah, it's your turn. Oh. I put Drake as my last.
All right. My top five is going to be. All right. Does Michael Jackson count as R&B?
Yeah, of course. Oh shit! All right, Michael Jackson. No.
Because he's the king of pop. But he's the king of pop. I think this needs to be discussed first, because if Michael Jackson is the king of pop,
yeah.
But I mean, Michael Jackson. Or his thing. So all black people aren't R&B.
So who is the new king of R&B then?
The king of R&B right now. All right, we'll get into that next. We're talking about the greatest of all time. I'm just wondering, to make my list, I need to know if Michael Jackson is R&B.
No.
Okay, if Michael Jackson is not R&B, then my top five of all time is Luther Vandross.
Oh, I forgot about Luther.
Usher.
Oh, shit, I forgot about Usher.
Marvin Gaye.
Okay.
Prince.
Ooh, Prince is not R&B neither.
Okay, if Prince is not R&B, then I can replace him with...
Trey Songz.
I have to replace that with... Ray Charles,
Ray Charles is pop too.
Okay, then what about
Trey Songz?
Listen, the only person from the new school that's in the greatest of our time, unless you consider Usher, that is Chris Brown.
Over Trey Songz?
Yes, definitely.
Chris Brown is more pop than R&B.
I love Trey Songz, man, but Trey Songz is six. Trey Songz is in that six spot. That it's not disrespectful to put a person there, but you keep making it seem like that, Joe. Yeah. See, I'm sorry, but I have to put a nigga like Otis Redding or a guy like Al Green or Smokey Robinson or any one of those guys. They could be like all tied, but they would have to be before Trey. Chris Brown just goes into there for me because, you know, Chris Brown and Usher's there, right? Michael Jackson can't be there because
Usher
he's
can't be there.
Right. Usher is 100% definitely R&B. He's definitely
R&B. He almost
on
Mr. Too Sexy level.
No. What do you mean?
He out here
Usher?
Passing out the boom bumps.
Usher, do not. Listen, that has not been confirmed, Joe.
He confirmed it.
Nigga, think about it.
He said,
there's always that one person that will always have your heart.
Come on, man.
You never see it coming because you're blinded from the start.
Oh, R&B Drake.
It's clear for
Listen.
Everyone to see.
Oh, baby. He got the hits, but he giving out herpes out here, man.
I'll see you in a minute.
You can't be a goat giving out herpes.
Why is you saying that?
He said it. Didn't he said it?
He
Confessions
said,
3?
He said, did you hear what I said? If you didn't hear what I said, go back and rewind the song and listen to it again.
He almost, oh shit. He almost earned the Mr. Too Sexy title.
All right, so top five currently. Let's just get the currently ones out of the way. I'll do mine and get it out the way right now. Chris Brown, The Weeknd.
Mm-hmm.
Miguel.
Mm-hmm.
John Legend.
Mm-hmm. If you don't name this person, you're tripping.
And Trey Songz. All right. But... I really no. What the fuck? Time out. Pause. That's Chris Brown,
shits, man.
The Weeknd, Tory Lanez, Miguel.
I know you didn't just do that.
And then now I have to put John Legend. I can't put Trey here. You big him. I can't. Tory.
First of all, Trey goes first.
Tory took Trey's spot on my list.
Tripping. Trey goes first, then Chris Brown. Then I have to go R&B. Then I'm going to go Party Next Door.
Okay. Because
even though he don't have a lot of hits his own, he writes a lot of shit. You feel me? His pen game is crazy.
Well, that's another five for another day, but he can't get his...
He can't get the R&B tip off? No?
Not for the writing.
No? Okay.
Top five R&B artists for writing songs?
Right now. Well, shit, I can't put this next person in my shit neither.
Who are we talking about?
Frank Ocean.
Well, we're not going to get into Frank Ocean because... I told you. I mean, you can put him in your five, but there are some things that he says in some of these records that are.
All right, whatever.
Okay.
Just talking based off of Pain Game, but he's in the same category as Party Next Door. Then. But all right, I'm going to go Trey, Chris. I'm going to go Tory Lanez. I'm going to go. See, I be trying to think off the top of my head. You be having the shit in front of you and shit. That's not fair. I'm going to go Tory Lanez.
I don't got
Lanez.
Nothing in front of me.
Yeah, whatever. I'm going to go Tory Lanez. I'm going to go... shit. Do A Boogie count as R&B singer?
No, because if he counts, then Drake counts, and then my list needs to be restructured.
Okay.
So so let's not start drafting.
I'ma go. I like Jacquees. Most people don't like Jacquees.
Okay.
I like Jacquees.
He's a typical pick for you. I knew you was gonna pick him.
Whatever.
Because he's at war with the old heads, as he calls them. So it's
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But shout out to him for that.
Yeah, because he called himself like the greatest R&B singer of all time or something.
I mean, I don't know about that, but yeah. I fucks with his little tone.
All right, was that five?
No, that was four.
Okay.
I got one more.
Ooh, who's the last one?
I don't know. That was hard for the fourth one.
I know.
All right, so five. I'm just about to name whoever the fuck else is out there that I could think about. I don't know. Jacquees.
Just put The Weeknd in there. Make it easy.
Oh, yeah, The Weeknd. Yeah. That's not like I settle for The Weeknd. That's he legit should have been like my third one.
Okay, so Moonstone Kush, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Northern Emeralds, someone should smack their mother for this shit. All right. We chose to smoke a bunch of Kush and we're drinking vodka and orange juice and fucking Heinekens. And this shit is heavy. And it's nighttime. We're doing this episode. And it just feels like I'm fucking super high, yo. But that's what these indicas do. The effects of this is supposed to be a great sleep aid, great for nighttime, pain relief. It relaxes you. Now, the flavors on this has that woody, earthy pine, definitely a pinene, heavy on the terpene levels. Usually, I'm not a big fan of the piney joints, but this one is like definitely a great phenotype or genotype of the legendary OG Kush.
Right.
That we actually have some OG Kush that Trey got along with that guava.
No, I didn't get the OG Kush.
What'd you get along with the guava?
I got the super glue.
Oh, you got the super glue?
Yeah.
That's what that is?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That shit sounds like it's going to leave you stuck. All right. So, like I said.
Oh, we didn't. We didn't smoke none.
It's pleasantly smooth and mild. It is definitely a great muscle relaxer. This shit gives you the body high.
I'm relaxed as shit whole time. I didn't even notice that.
The buds are big and beautiful and fluffy. Mm. And they're round and they're bright green. And they're covered in bright orange hairs.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very crystally. It's almost like it sparkles.
Yeah, I can see it from here.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Listen, this is not the weed that you smoke when you have some shit to do.
This is not the waking bee.
Yeah. Because
you hit this off the waking bee, you are definitely will be going waking up again another motherfucking 3 hours from then. No, this is not before you go to school weed. This is not before you go to work weed.
Yeah.
This is not before you go play basketball weed. This is motherfucking strictly before you go to fucking sleep. Because if you don't smoke, if you smoke this shit other than when you go to sleep, you are going to go to sleep.
Yeah.
This is like, nigga, if you work in the office and you smoke this shit, you're going to be drooling on your keyboard. Like,
bitch. I can 100% tell you when this episode is over with, I am going to be snoring.
This
somewhere.
Nigga got his socks and shorts and t-shirt on. This nigga is ready for bed, dog.
I'm already ready to go.
This nigga, before we even started, this nigga said, I'm putting my shorts on. So right after we done, I am going to sleep.
And then, like I told y'all earlier before about the legendary DJ Short, who was a legendary seed harvester and cultivator, we lit up this DJ Short blueberry. This was rolled in a raw paper with a cone just because of the strong, strong blueberry smell that I got from it. Yeah. I wanted to definitely get real up close and personal with the taste. And it definitely has like a skunkish undertone, but it's sweet blueberry.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this was another indica dominant cannabis strain. And it has a more of a euphoric. So this was more uplifting. It was more of a hybrid, but it was indica dominant. The parent strains are a cross between indica Afghani, sativa purple tie, and sativa tie. Mm-hmm. So this is like one of those old school strains. You know what I'm saying? That most of the newer or big commercial like type of dispensaries like MedMen or like you know what I'm saying, Cookies or like some of the bigger places that we've gone to don't serve this type of weed.
Who's the, you said his name after who?
Well, it's named after DJ Short. And DJ Short is like one of these cultivators from like back in the 70s, like back in like the Jack Harrer days. And like, you know what I'm saying? Like back when these guys like were like some of the originators who created strains that became, you know, the parents of some of the first early hybrids that were winning the Cannabis Cup in the early 2000s through High Times.
Right.
And that these were guys that were taking some of these like original Kush, original, you know what I'm saying? Like for instance, like Wonder Bread. All right, Dr. Green Thumbs, who's you know, Be Real, right? The weed company he got. All right, Wonder Bread, this dude named Brett, who had a cut of like this 93 Christopher Wallace OG Kush, right? Mm-hmm. Got it gifted to him. Started cultivating a bunch of different weed, crossing it with this OG Kush strain that he got.
Christopher Wallace.
Yeah, it was the,
Biggie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Where is this at?
This was this guy who created this entire brand called Wonder Bread, but he was a cultivator. He was just a guy who was really good at crossing strains. But how he created some of his first early signature strains was that he got a gift of a clone of a cut of OG Kush that you can't probably find anywhere right now that was called the 93 Christopher Wallace OG Kush cut.
Speaking of that, I found the seed in something. I saved it. And I think I'm going to just throw it in the ground and see what the fuck happens.
Well, no, we're not going to do that. Listen, Listen, I'm not going to edit that out, but the people who've been listening know that the last thing we want to do is just throw that seed in the ground and see what happens, because we are going to follow the steps of higher learning to grow that seed correctly. Okay? Yeah, let me.
This is higher learning. Learning.
All right, so that was the strain review for that shit. Listen, man, I am getting ready to get the fuck out of here. We are going to give you a recipe, and then we were going to talk about drying and trimming, but we're just going to talk about that shit next episode with the curing, so it all goes together. The recipe is for some fucking Rice Krispies. This indica got me super fucking high.
And I was just about to say that this nigga is ready to go to sleep because we're supposed to do more than this.
Nigga.
This nigga just said, fuck it. I got my shorts. Got my shorts on and I'm ready. Let me give you the recipe.
Yeah, recipe. So all look, right. Crunchy cannabis Rice Krispies. Now listen, anyone who's ever gotten any edibles, you know, you've seen the Rice Krispie treats, yo. That is the shit right there. All right. I'd rather use Fruity Pebbles, Cocoa Pebbles. You can pretty much use this recipe to make any type of treat with cereal. You can make Golden Grahams treat. You can make all these shits. Listen, you guys, I'm 100% sure that those of y'all that are not about to fall asleep yet because you're super high, because you try to go smoke a bunch of Kush and Indica like us, and now you're in the same space that we are. You know this recipe already, but I'm going to tell it to you anyways.
Yes, sir.
It's the same fucking recipe that you've used to make Rice Krispie treats your whole fucking life, except for instead of using regular butter, you're using can of butter. Remember, I told you guys early in this season, these early instructions that I gave you of how to make the butter, the milk, the fucking flour, the sugar, then later I taught you how to make the simple syrup and all that shit. That was so you can make anything you want to infused. Anything that you've ever cooked. Think about the best thing you know how to cook. If it involves one of those ingredients that you can infuse, then you can make an infused fucking version of it.
Mm.
So here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Half a cup of fucking weed butter.
Mm-hmm.
4 cups of mini marshmallows or a bag.
Mm-hmm.
Rice Krispie cereal or Fruity Pebbles or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You put the fucking butter in the pan.
Mm-hmm.
You melt the fucking butter.
Mm-hmm.
Then you put the marshmallows in it and then you stir that shit the fuck up until mm-hmm. it melts up. Then you add the fucking cereal and you stir that shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Then you put the shit in the casserole dish that you already sprayed down with the Pam, or you put the motherfucking wax paper in. You put that bitch down and you let it cool off and then you slice it up and then you got Rice Krispies fucking treats. Okay. I bet you somebody's saying, what if I wanted to do it with Captain Crunch? Yes. The same way you would make Captain Crunch treats at home, do it the same way. But add weed butter. Every recipe you could think of right now, it uses butter or sugar or oil or milk or flour. You can just put the weed version of that in there and get a new recipe. And then any drink that you get, go to the store, get a Tropicana Twister. Take that tincture, put a couple drops in there. It's infused. All right. I'm still going to give you guys one more recipe. Or I don't know how many more episodes we're going to do. I'm too high right now to decide. But I'm going to keep giving y'all recipes. But it's weird because I know that you know every recipe already. As a matter of fact, you guys should make some shit and give me some recipes. So I can tell other people that shit on season two. Oh, yeah. We're definitely doing a season two. Even though I'm being very presumptuous right now because I'm assuming that you guys have even listened to season one. But the gag is, even if you didn't, we're going to do season two anyways.
If you want to listen to more, visit our official website at a420podcast.com.